Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, buckle up. And if you're in New York City, good luck finding a U-Haul today. Wow, we've got a terrific show lined up for you. In just a few moments, we're going to be checking in with our great national correspondent, Robin Poffman, is going to be joining us. Robin, of course, from New York City, and she worked in New York City as a journalist for many, many years. We were colleagues. Our cubicles were next to each other in the Fox News newsroom back in the day, in the early days. And Robin's got some things to say about what happened last night in New York City. Now, let me just say right out of the gate that you folks in New York City, you voted for this. And I think we need to step back and understand what exactly is going on here. A lot of people waking up today and they're realizing this was, oh, wow, this is a big story. Yes, which is why we were talking about it yesterday on the program. But ultimately, this goes back to something that I have been warning the American people about for many, many, many years. My second book, and the lovely Miss Cassie. We're going to send Miss Cassie down to the Todd Starnes Show Library. And she'll get a copy of my book. It's called Dispatches from Better America. I wrote this thing back in 2008 or 9. That's how old this book is. But in this book, I explain exactly why the Islamists are eventually going to take over America. And we're watching this play out in New York City. And I'll read from this book. Any of you who have read this book, you already know what I'm about to share with you. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. But I want you to understand something here. Thanks to mass migration and immigration, every major American city will eventually be governed by Muslim socialists. Do you hear me on this? Every major American city will eventually be ruled by Muslim socialists. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest threat facing America is not in the Middle East, and it's not in Eastern Europe. It's right here in our own backyard, because the enemy has not only breached our borders, they have breached our nation's education system. And that's really what's going on here. When you look at the people who voted last night, and understand this, about 12% of the electoral population, about 12%, is Muslim. It is a very large voting block. And trust me when I tell you this, they vote for the specific candidate who is a Muslim. So they vote as a block. So right away, 12% of your vote is going to the Muslim candidate here. And this guy is a raging progressive who, by the way, had the endorsement of AOC as well as little David Hogg, little Piglet. They love this guy. So I want to go back, and you know, we should have pulled this audio. This was me talking back in my Fox News days when AOC first came onto the scene. And I tried to warn you then that this woman was going to be the leader of the Democrat Party. And then AOC started getting some pals. And as over the years, I've been explaining on this radio program that this, and if you're a longtime listener, you're really not surprised by what just happened in New York City. because through our nation's education system, we are graduating radical progressives who hate America like AOC. We're seeing it here in Memphis and in Tennessee as these younger Democrats are getting elected, and they are actually to the left of AOC. But again, Nancy Pelosi, everybody thought, oh, it's Nancy Pelosi and Chuckie Schumer that are really running things. No, actually, they're not. They're not. These radical progressives like AOC, they are not just the future of the party. They are the party now. Do you understand the magnitude of what happened yesterday when you had this guy, a 33-year-old Ugandan Muslim, took out the political machine known as the Cuomo family? I mean, this would be like it happening in Massachusetts, knocking off JFK and RFK Jr. That's the magnitude of this. It's a big deal. So what happened here? Well, we're going to go through this because there's a lot that we need to extrapolate here, a lot we need to glean from what happened, because this is a national issue. Now, we're talking about the largest, most consequential city in America. You may not like New York City. Fine, I get that. But it is the largest, most consequential city in America. And I want to warn you, folks, in the southern states especially and the Midwest, you guys need to figure out how to handle the refugees coming from New York State, because it's going to be bad. And understand this, they're going to be bringing their politics with them. And we've got to figure out a way around that. I know that Nicole Malliotakis, who's a very dear person, she's a great lawmaker. She's also a female boxer, so she can beat the living daylights out of all of us. And she's out there saying, I want to read to you the tweet. And she represents Brooklyn and Staten Island. She said, make no mistake, if Mandani is elected mayor, it will be bad for public safety, law enforcement, taxpayers, and businesses. The Trump administration will need to step in to keep hardworking and law-abiding New Yorkers safe and stop our economy from crumbling. That's what she wrote. With all due respect to Nicole Malliotakis, who could punch me in the nose right now, I have to respectfully disagree. When hell freezes over, that's when we step in and help New York City. Look, these people in New York voted for this guy, so they deserve every single thing they get. They deserve every bit of suffering that they just voted for. Now, I've got nothing but great respect for the Republicans in New York, but I will say this yesterday, and I'll give you an example of this, and I'm going to be all over the place, so just bear with me. But Republicans, they're not serious. Republicans are not serious in New York State. They're just not. Curtis Sliwa ran unopposed for the Republican nomination. This guy was on Newsmax last night, and he was spouting off about how people are concerned about animal rights in New York City. And they very well may be, but are you freaking kidding me, sir? Are you freaking kidding me, Republican Party? This is your guy? At some point, I would have just run Eric Adams as the Republican nominee. But it's time for serious candidates, ladies and gentlemen. We are dealing with an Islamic takeover of our nation. And by the way, and I go back to the Christopher Hitchens interview on Bill Maher just a few days ago, the reason why Iran hates us, the only reason Islamic Iran hates us right now is because we are not Muslim. We are the infidels. And according to their holy scriptures, they kill the infidels. They take over the infidel countries and they enslave the infidels. That's what Hitchens said. So don't be calling Starnes Islamophobic. And by the way, I can't tell you how many conservatives are going out of their way not to use the word Muslim. That is a very important word here, ladies and gentlemen. And you mark my words. What's happening right now in London and Paris and across Belgium and Holland is happening right here in America. And what's happening in New York City is a very good example, because everybody sits around and I hear it. I go out to the local diners. Oh, that Starnes, he's just popping off. There's no way the Muslims are going to be able to take over America. No way. Well, guess what? There is a way. Now, again, my advice to President Trump, because they are going to be looking for a handout. I say we don't give them a single penny. They voted for all of this nonsense. The best course of action for us as a nation is to build a wall completely around New York City and the boroughs, except for Staten Island, which I suspect might secede from the state. I mean, Staten Island's the only Republican area, that and the tip of Brooklyn. But this is just wild, wild. And I'm going to explain what's really going on here in just a moment. But I want to lay this out for you. This Mamdani guy has only been in the nation. He's only been a citizen for like 7 years. And here's what he wants to do. This is the plan. This is what he's running on. And again, he's not the mayor yet. That'll happen in the fall. Andrew Cuomo's looking at running a third party. That would be a disaster because that will peel off votes from Eric Adams. And then you've got Curtis Sliwa, who wants to save the animals. And I love puppies as much as the next person. But that's not the issue here. That is not the issue. According to Mamdani, he believes that we should have government-owned grocery stores. He promised to abolish medical bills and private health insurance. He also wants to provide free fare on city buses, free child care, and a freeze on rent-stabilized apartments. And by free, he means that the taxpayers have to foot the bill. So get this, if you run the numbers, all of this is going to be financed because he wants to implement a massive tax increase on the city's wealthiest residents. So do not be surprised to see a mass evacuation of Wall Street companies and the Upper East Side. I mean, we had Vicky Palladino, she's a New York City councilwoman, on my Newsmax show last night. She said this is straight up communism. And she said that there will be an uprising in the streets. And I mean, well, it's too late for that now. Mamdani has called for the abolishment of the New York City Police Department. He wants to end cash bail, decriminalize drug possession, and he wants to end all cooperation with immigration agents. Remember the video? You may not have seen this video. A couple of days ago, we played some of this audio. There really wasn't much for you to hear except screaming this wild guy. This guy looked like he was strung out on drugs, and he was lunging at Tom Holman, and that was Mamdani. He wants to get this. He wants to decriminalize drug possession. If you go to New York City right now, and I want to say this about New York. I love New York. I loved living in New York. It is a wonderful town. Incredible people. Had a great time there. But I went back a couple of, what was it? Back for the Wall Street. We were doing the New York Stock Exchange on Newsmax. Walk out onto the streets. And it smells like you're in Cheech and Chong's van. I mean, the smell of just marijuana. But now it's not just marijuana. You're going to have folks literally shooting up on the streets because he wants to decriminalize all drug possession. And he also wants to legalize prostitution. Hashtag monkeypox epidemic. It's going to be, and so he's going to legalize prostitution, legalize sex work. He's going to ban all guns. He wants to abolish the prisons. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. But this is what they've owned. This guy's clueless. He's clueless, a 33-year-old. What does he know? Unbelievable. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we have to look forward to in New York City. And it is going to destroy and decimate this town. It truly is. And I do feel for the people who did not vote for this. But the reality is, and by the way, when you look at the breakdown of numbers, and the New York Times did actually a pretty good job of pointing all of this out, it turns out that most working class people, most black New Yorkers, did not vote for this guy. He got all of the Muslim vote. But he also got the vote of all of the intellectual young people, the college-educated young people. I got to take a break here, and I'm going to explain why and what that means. We're going to be taking your calls as well, your reaction to this really jaw-dropping, stunning victory of the Muslim socialist, Zohran Mamdani. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Charlie Kirk is catching a hold of you-know-what, because he said, I mean, this is all happening, what, 24 years after the Muslim radicals flew jetliners into the buildings in the name of the religion of peace, waging jihad, by the way, on American soil. Apparently, saying what I just said is now somehow considered Islamophobic. Go figure. We'll be right back, America. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. Now, he didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the best bed sheets ever. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Now, Mike is offering the best deal on his Giza Dream bed sheets. Any size, any color, just $49.98. That's right. You can even get the Queens, Kings, Split Kings, and Cal Kings. Any size, any color, just $49.98. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 in merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Call 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS or go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS for the amazing offer of $49.98 on the Giza Dream Sheets, any size, any color. That number again, 1-800-839-8506, promo code STARNS. Well, apparently we had no copies of Dispatches from Bitter America, but it was written many years ago, my very first political book. And there was a fascinating story. This was all after 9/11. And there was an interview done with an Islamic scholar here in America, I believe Southern California, the Orange County Register, I believe. I'm working on my memory banks right now. But anyway, I believe this guy was being interviewed by the Orange County Register or one of the newspapers in Southern California. And the Islamic scholar said that they were waging what he called, and there's this phrase, a stealth jihad. So it's a bloodless jihad, but the jihad was being waged in American classrooms through textbooks. And the Islamic scholar told this reporter that their intent was to infuse these Muslims in academic circles to write the textbooks that are used in all of our public schools. So that's one of the reasons why now when you look forward years later, people are wondering, well, wait a second, why is why is Islam so distorted in the history books that our kids are using? Well, the reason why is because the Islamic scholars were the ones writing all of this. And there would be crazy stuff like, for example, Islam never invaded a country. They were always welcomed into the country. That Islam is the most tolerant religion of all time. I mean, that level of deception. So this is all, and look, we're talking over 20 years ago. So for the past 20 years, you've had young people in America, and I'm talking about millennials, Gen Zers, they have all been radicalized in their public school classrooms, and they don't even know it. So when they embrace someone like Mamdani here, they think they're doing something good for the country when in fact they're doing something very, very dangerous. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me on this. And I know this is a very politically incorrect thing to say, but Islam is not compatible with the Judeo-Christian teachings that founded this country. It is simply not compatible. And we have seen this play out over Western Europe over the past 15 or 20 years, and it is a very, very sad situation. And I'm afraid the UK may be completely overrun and taken over. And that's why you have the King of England bowing down now. The King of England, who is in charge, by the way, is the head of the Church of England, paying honor and respect and homage to Islam. I think they're terrified because they don't know what to do. And they're afraid to say anything because they will call you an Islamic phobic. So they want to silence all opposition here. That is the danger, and we just saw that happen in New York City. Hang tight if you're on the phones, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
All right, welcome back, America. Good to have you with us on the Todd Stearns radio program. If you're on hold, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls, I promise. I want to give you an update, some very exciting news. I just got word from my publisher this morning. They have already, and we're only in like week one and a half of the book launch, they have already ordered a third printing of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. Sales are going incredibly well across the nation. And want to direct your attention to our website, toddstearns.com, because we have a very special going on where you can, for $27, you get a copy of the book and you get one of our ginormous Blessed Not Bitter coffee mugs. And that is exclusively a great deal over at toddstearns.com. Click on the store and you'll see all the special offerings there. All right. This weekend, we're going to be broadcasting the show from Washington, D.C. on Friday. On Saturday, I will be delivering remarks at the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to the Majority Conference. So if you're anywhere in the D.C. area, we would certainly love to see you. I'll be signing books afterwards, and even we'll run into, I think Ben Diener's going to drop by, so that'll be fun. Well, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, great journalist, Robin Poffman joins us. Robin, hope you're doing good today.
Better than I was yesterday, because I was up in New Jersey in Philadelphia, where it was 104 degrees.
I'm sorry, did you call it Filthy-delphia?
Philadelphia. Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. I love it. Look, I know you and I, we spent many years working together in New York City, you longer than me. Your reaction to what happened last night?
You know, everyone says they're so surprised. I wasn't surprised at all.
Yeah, me neither.
This is another George Soros, AOC creation, this guy. And he is a radical, any way you look at it, all, you know, eight slices of the pizza pie, Todd. He's a radical. No matter what the topic is, he's a radical. And I'll tell you this, nobody wants Cuomo back. You know, I started out talking about the weather. I think that the weather really did have an impact, because grandma and grandpa, all the seniors that vote up there, clearly were not out and about. Manhattan yesterday was probably 100. It was a little warmer where I was. But in the city, they were hitting 100 degrees. And grandma and grandpa weren't out there voting. So you've got that.
Well, you want to know why grandma and grandpa weren't out there voting? Because he killed them. Cuomo killed them.
Cuomo killed grandma and grandpa, but the ones that are left, that said, nobody wants Cuomo. You know, that era is done. It's like, you know, the Bush and the Clintons, it's over, folks, right? We're not like a dynasty in this country. We're not in England anymore, right? So the bottom line is that this guy's a radical. And isn't it sad, Todd, as we approach the 24-year mark, I don't even like to call it an anniversary of 9/11, because it's not an anniversary. It's a marking of time of the worst terrorist attack on America. And this guy is going to go the full radical, socialist, We're going to do away with the police. We're going to have no law. We're going to have no order. And we're just going to, you know, rise up and we're going to cover up the Statue of Liberty and, you know, put on the Muslim black, the outfit that they wear and cover up Lady Liberty. And we're all going to, you know, walk around with a mask over our head and our face. And the next thing you know, we're going to be a fourth world city. Forget the third world. We're on to the fourth world.
Robin, and, I hear they're already outfitting.
Crazy.
I hear they're already outfitting Lady Liberty with a burqa, even as you and I speak here.
Right. It's trending on social media. It's on my social media pages. And, you know, it's not far from the truth. All we need to do is bring in some sand and maybe some camels and some donkeys, and we could be right back in the middle, right back in the Middle East.
Oh, my God. Robin, this guy is a Jew hater, and I don't like to mince words, but he is truly anti-Semitic. He refused to condemn the October 7th attack on Israel. He has embraced and defended the global intifada. And he also said that if Benjamin Netanyahu shows up while he's in the mayor's office, he will have Netanyahu arrested and charged with crimes.
And isn't that sick? The last I looked, there are more Jews living in New York City than anywhere outside of Israel. There are more Holocaust survivors living in New York City than anywhere in the world. And you know, there are more synagogues there than anywhere in any city that I can name in this country. And it's going to be really bad if this is what the people are choosing. I also think, Todd, that you have like this loud, young, naive, dopey crowd, including, shall I name her, Ella Emhoff, the daughter of the former... What do you call him? The second gentleman?
The
Doug
second
Emhoff,
dude? Yeah,
whatever.
Dougie. Little Dougie.
Dougie, who's married to Kamala. I mean, these people are so, their mindset and what they believe in is so, like, off the chart. I can't relate to any of them. And so his nutty socialist daughter, Ella Emhoff, is in on this. Cynthia Nixon, remember her from Sex and the City? She's in on all of this. These are people that are like celebrating this guy. I can't think of anyone worse. You know, maybe they can get the Ayatollah from Iran and they can put him in as the mayor of New York City.
So here's
that's really what you're dealing with.
Here's what gets me is the Republicans. So Curtis Sliwa is their guy, and I get it. I have great respect for him. You know, the guy who founded the Guardian Angels. He's out there, but instead of, and he and I were on back-to-back segments on Newsmax last night, and I really wish we were on the same segment together because I really wanted to ask him a couple of questions. Under his campaign platform is basically animal welfare advocacy. And I'm sitting here going, are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? After what we are watching unfold in New York City, that guy actually thinks that's the winning agenda in New York City, Robin. He got crushed in a landslide defeat the last time he ran for mayor against Eric Adams.
You know why? Because he's also a person of the past. You know, for your audience that doesn't know him, he's the guy who wears the red beret and was on the making the subway safe years ago with the shooting that they had back in the 70s or the 80s and, you know, formed the Guardian Angels and all of this and all of that. But you know what? His day has kind of come and gone. They really need someone like with like some fresh blood and some fresh ideas up there. You know, you try to come up with a name. I know all these people personally. I've lived there. I'm from there, and I can't come up with anyone.
I mean, I think
literally can't come up with a name for you.
I think you have to. Maybe Nicole Malliotakis. I know she's in Congress. You know, from Staten Island. She represents Staten Island, Brooklyn, but. I'm with you. There just aren't a lot, but still there's got to be at least some, maybe a concern. I mean, now you're talking about just having a liberal Democrat, right? Is there a liberal Democrat we can vote for? I mean, we're dealing with here.
You know what the default position on all this is going to be? Because I've really been thinking this through. It's like, I'm so excited that you called me to be on the show today. I think they're going to default to the guy they have now.
Eric Adams.
With all of his issues, you know, he kind of governs whatever way the wind is blowing that day. But I think that he's, you know, the least offensive when you put him up against this guy. I mean, he's not exactly Mr. Law and Order. Tom Homan has had some meetings with him. They're trying to get the illegals out of New York City. Good luck on that. But you've got these radicals like AOC. I mean, AOC is definitely eyeing Chuck Schumer's Senate seat. And she's never in her district, which has literally also become, like, I don't even know, Guatemala, Mexico, the third world, again, the fourth world. It is so bad in the district she represents in the Bronx. It's crazy. No one has ever seen her there. And she's literally a big do-nothing who's possibly going to be in the Senate. Can you imagine that? So, I don't even know. I'm speechless over the whole thing.
By the way, that reminds me. You remember AOC, she actually grew up in a wealthy suburb north of New York City. So she's not an impoverished, you know, barkeeper as, you know, they portrayed her to be. She grew up in Yorktown Heights and in a lovely three-bedroom house.
And some say she may have even grown up in Connecticut or worked in Connecticut. You know, there's a lot going on there that we know nothing about. Again, she's in the category of what I call a George Soros creation. You've got her. You've got this guy. There's a lot of these shady people. They come out of nowhere. Suddenly they have this huge footprint on social media. And so does this guy. How do you say his name? Mamdani?
Mamdani, yeah. Mamdani.
Yeah, that's how I say it. I don't think it's going to work. And, you know, the real problem with this, Todd, this is the one thing we haven't mentioned yet in this segment, is money. So you have Wall Street people. You have people that live on the Upper East Side, Upper West Side, the Trump folks. All sorts of every company that you can name, Fortune 100, Fortune 500, Fortune whatever, everyone is there. Do you think that any of these companies are going to flourish? Do you think that real estate is going to go up or down in these fancy condos on Park Avenue? Even the less fancy apartments where there's no door people, you know, where just regular folks live. What about the universities there? You know, you could start naming them, NYU, Columbia, et cetera, et cetera. Are we going to keep enrolling radicals in our university system in New York City? The law schools, Fordham? I mean, I could go on and on. This guy, Todd, let me sum it up. He is bad for business.
Yeah, big time. Big time, Robin. Real quick, you think we're going to if the guy gets elected, and a lot of that depends on whether Cuomo decides to run as an independent, because I think he just splinters more votes. I just don't see Sliwa moving the needle at all. But if this guy becomes mayor, you think we're going to see a mass exodus of businesses from Wall Street?
No doubt. I mean, how can you operate in that environment? And, you know, I think what's really fascinating is that right across the river in New Jersey, I was up there for a couple of days. I've been up there a lot this summer. Jack Cittarelli, who's the Trump-endorsed MAGA candidate, New Jersey is about to go red in the governorship. There's a woman who's nobody knows her name who's running as the Democrat because the governor is term limited there, Murphy, Mr. Pro-illegal alien. And all the many, many sanctuary cities in the state of New Jersey. And let me tell you, people have had enough. And I think it's very possible that right across the river, while you have this radical in New York City, drive through the Holland Tunnel, Lincoln Tunnel, over the George Washington Bridge, they very could be going red with Jack Cittarelli as the new governor of the state. I'm telling you, it could happen.
All right. Robin Poffman, thanks for... This is a short notice thing, but thanks for hopping on the show today, and we're going to get you back on very soon. Crazy story.
The crazier guests have me on again.
We'll have you on call. All right, speed dial. Robin Poffman, everybody, great journalist, and she grew up in those parts, so she knows what she's talking about. All right, real quick here, let's go to the phone lines. A lot of you holding on for a while. Let's go to Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Well, I just wanted to tell you, you're 100% dead on with everything you just said in the last, 45 minutes of your show. I just wanted to tell you why. The strife in the Middle East has always been looked upon as a regional thing. It was going on over there. And then 9/11 happened, and that brought it to the forefront. Since that time, there's been the mass migration, and now Muslims have been dispersed all around the world. It says in Genesis 16:12, he will be a wild donkey of a man, live in conflict with all his brothers. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. That could only happen in today's world, where they're in every city, every state, every country, all over the globe.
Mike, it's a fair point you raise. And again, what is the end goal here? And going back to what Christopher Hitchens said on Bill Maher's show, I completely agree with him. They hate us because they consider us to be the infidels. We are not fighting a political war here, folks. We are fighting a religious battle. This is a jihad that's being waged. And as I pointed out in my book many years ago, this is a silent jihad that was first waged in classrooms to sway opinion, to change minds. And that's why when you look at the demographics who voted for Mamdani, they overwhelmingly were energized, younger, left-wing voters. And that is a disturbing trend that the Democrat Party better get their hands on, because that is going to destroy their party. Got to take a break here. Mike, thank you for that call. I got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's go to Buffalo, New York. Just Us is on the line. And what say you? What's on your mind today?
All right. Thanks again, Todd. I'm just calling because during when our greatest president of all time was running, and hearing the nation and the Demis and the Libbies making fun of him of points that were actually happening even prior to his winning the election with the cats and the dogs and the whatever, our voices are being muted. We, those of us that are Trump supporters that experienced it, we have seen that. We've had the DNR come out here because our geese are being chased, and there's many, many that are moved in here. Again, this is HUD-subsidized housing. Taxpayers pay for this. We never see moving trucks, but we wake up the next day, and now there's 15 more, there's 20 more. The landlord even protects them. We understand there's the $4,000 kickbacks. I posted that back on Truth Social when it got around that Amherst, New York, is now moving the people that are in hotels there into apartments. And get this, the Department of Health and Human Services, they make all of us American citizens go down to the city of Buffalo to apply. Here, they were sending the workers going door to door in these hotels, asking these people, what do you need? How is it that these people are driving Escalades, Cadillac Escalades, vehicles? Their houses are being furnished, but I've helped our vets try to navigate to that are being denied our services. So I could send you the pictures out my window. It looks like I'm in a third world country. When we complain that, hey, this is a two bedroom unit, we hear 15 people upstairs, we get served with eviction violate,
Well, that's terrible. Let me hop in here because the computer is going to cut me off. But again, this goes back to the issue we raised at the top of the hour. This mass immigration, the fact that 20 million people were brought into this country illegally, and it was all intentional. And one of the reasons why is what you see just happen in New York City. I'm telling you, this is all part of a grand scheme, and it is not good. Hang tight, everybody. Liz Peek coming up in the next hour. Ambassador Sam Brownback also going to be here. Vicky Palladino from New York City as well. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, President Trump just boarding Air Force One, getting ready to come back home after this NATO meeting. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Honored to have you with us. This hour, Liz Peek is going to drop by. So you've really got to love, you got to love Trump. NATO's Secretary General. I'm going to play this audio because you will not believe me, but you've got NATO's Secretary General who's calling the leader of the free world, our great commander-in-chief, President Donald J. Trump, Daddy. Cut 18.
We had a big fight, like two kids in a schoolyard. You know, they fight like hell. You can't stop them. Let them fight for about 2-3 minutes. Then it's easier to stop them.
And then Daddy has to sometimes use strong language.
You have to use strong language. Every once in a while, you have to use a certain word.
Daddy's home. And do you remember that was a kid when you heard that phrase from your mom, Daddy's home? That can either mean, oh boy, Dad's here, or it can mean, oh crap, I'm in trouble, and I won't be able to sit down for dinner. I mean, it's one of the two. But, and I think the folks over at NATO were trying to figure out, okay, which version of Daddy is showing up. But the NATO Secretary General heaped a lot of praise on President Trump and actually wrote him a letter that was screenshotted by Trump. And he said, "My Mr. President, dear Donald, congratulations and thank you for your decisive action in Iran. That was truly extraordinary and something no one else dared to do. It makes us all safer." He was buttering him up. But you can't butter up President Trump. You can't do that because he is the master negotiator. Donald Trump knows what's up. Oh, by the way, and the good news here is that they're going to be equalizing all the spending. Now, we had a conversation yesterday on Newsmax, and I just threw out a simple question to General Blaine Holt. He's one of my military experts. And I said, why do we still need NATO? I mean, honest to goodness, what is the point of all of this? You know, the United States is spending billions of dollars. We're not spending, we're spending far more than all the other NATO countries, and they're the ones that allegedly need our protection. But why is that? And especially when a lot of those countries no longer even share our values. I mean, give it another decade, and the UK is going to be an Islamic state. I mean, that's pretty clear. Parts of France already are. No-go zones in parts of Paris. And then you've got Belgium and Holland. So why do we need to be over there? I think that's the broader question. And General Holt said, you know, that's the question everybody is asking. And it's a fair question. So anyway, while Trump was over there, the NATO chief announced that spending will now be equalized between NATO members because a lot of these guys, they're grifters, they're grifter nations, they're cheap, they don't pay their bills, they're freeloaders. Cut 14.
For too long,
One ally, the United States, carried too much of the burden of that commitment. And that changes today. President Trump, dear Donald, you made this change possible. Your leadership on this has already produced $1 trillion in extra spending from European allies since 2016. And the decisions today will produce trillions more for our common defense to make us stronger and fairer by equalizing spending between America and America's allies.
As a matter of fact, and look, I appreciate the sentiment here, but honestly, we shouldn't be having to pay anything. I mean, we're the ones with boots on the ground. We're the ones with the military bases over there. We're doing the bulk of the work. They ought to all be paying us. But again, baby steps, baby steps. So anyway, Trump, as always, you know, they do the press conferences, and the media, the American media, folks, you just can't hate them enough. You really can't. So now the media is going after our military pilots, the Air Force pilots, the B-2, the guys in the B-2 bombers. They're saying, well, they may not have hit the targets. They're saying that it was a complete disaster and that the nuclear sites were not heavily damaged. So I want to start with Pete Hegseth, who just completely rips apart CNN and the New York Times for pushing this agenda, which, by the way, has to be coming from Iran. And the reporters who are behind all of this, they're behind a lot of the other hoaxes and the fake news that's coming out against the Trump administration. Cut five.
There's a reason the president calls out fake news for what it is. These pilots, these refuelers, these fighters, these air defenders, the skill and the courage it took to go into enemy territory flying 36 hours on behalf of the American people and the world to take out a nuclear program is beyond what anyone in this audience can fathom. And then the instinct of CNN, the instinct of the New York Times is to try to find a way to spin it for their own political reasons to try to hurt President Trump or our country. They don't care what the troops think. They don't care what the world thinks. They want to spin it to try to make him look bad based on a leak. Of course, we've all seen plenty of leakers. And what do leakers do? They have agendas. And what do? Do they share the whole information or just the part that they want to introduce? And when they introduce that preliminary report that's deemed to be a low assessment, you know what a low assessment means? Low confidence in the data in that report. And why is there low confidence? Because all of the evidence of what was just bombed by 12, 30,000 pound bombs is buried under a mountain, devastated and obliterated. So if you want to make an assessment of what happened at Fordow, you better get a big shovel and go really deep, because Iran's nuclear program is obliterated. And somebody somewhere is trying to leak something to say, oh, with low confidence, we think maybe it's moderate. Those that dropped the bombs precisely in the right place know exactly what happened when that exploded. And you know who else knows? Iran.
That's right. And now these two news organizations are propaganda pieces for the Iranians. By the way, President Trump had some choice words about it as well. Cut number six.
This was an unbelievable hit by genius pilots and genius people in the military, and they're not being given credit for it because we have scum that's in this group, and not all of you are. You have some great reporters, but you have scum. CNN is scum. MSDNC is scum. The New York Times is scum. They're bad people. They're sick. And what they've done is they're trying to make this unbelievable victory into something less. Now, even they admit that it was hit very hard, okay? But it wasn't hit hard. It was hit brutally, and it knocked it out. The original word that I use, I guess it got us in trouble because it's a strong word. It was obliteration.
Well, it was, and the president also had a little bit of fun with Caitlin Collins, Eyebrows Collins over at CNN, cut number four.
Please, go ahead. Go ahead. No, fake news, CNN?
No.
Yeah, here we go. Wait till you hear this question.
Thank you, sir.
You should really say how great our soldiers and our warriors are.
I think everyone appreciates our soldiers and our warriors. I do have two questions for you, Mr. President. You just cited Israeli intelligence on these attacks. Earlier, you said U.S. intelligence was inconclusive. Are you relying on Israeli intelligence for your assessment of the impact of the strikes?
Now, this is also Iran made the statement. And it's also, if you read the document that was given, that Pete can talk about if you'd like, the document said it could be very severe damage, but they didn't take that. They said it could be limited or it could be very severe. They really didn't know, other than to say it could be limited or it could be very, very severe. And you didn't choose to put that because it was very early after. Since then, we've collected additional intelligence. We've also spoken to people who have seen the site. And the site is obliterated. And we think everything nuclear is down there. They didn't take it out.
All right. There you go. And so, again, the media is trying whichever way they possibly can to destroy the president on this. And the reason why is because you even have Democrats that are supporting President Trump and what he did. Because Trump did what former presidents said they were going to do, but they never did. Ever. By the way, even Jeb Bush, low energy Jeb, found enough strength to write and congratulate the president, and President Trump was very grateful for that. So well done, Mr. President. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This story from Atlanta, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Four teenagers arrested for tearing down rainbow flags and cutting them at a rainbow crosswalk in Atlanta, Georgia, could face years in prison. The incident happened at the symbolic corner of Piedmont Avenue and 10th Street. Why is that symbolic? Is that where the hookups? Is that where people went to visit the sidewalk Sally's? Pardon me, the sidewalk Sam's? Is that what was going on? I don't know why it was symbolic. They don't say. And I don't want to guess. There's no room for conjecture on this story. The teens may face enhanced penalties because they targeted people based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. Who did they target? They tore up a rainbow colored flag. The teens ages 16 to 18 were charged with obstruction, criminal damage to property, conspiracy, and prowling. They could face enhanced misdemeanor charges under Georgia's hate crime law, and they could face up to 6 to 12 months in prison for cutting up a rainbow flag. However, if charged with a felony under Georgia's hate crime law, the teenagers could face between 2 to 12 years, additional years in prison. And that's according to the New York Times. Now, look, you can't be going around destroying public or private property. You can't be doing that. That's against the law, and that should be a crime. Typically, these are all misdemeanor crimes. You get probation, you get a fine, and then you're sent on your merry way. But this is a twofold problem. Because apparently this happened, they committed the crime on a rainbow-colored crosswalk. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have warned you. Those crosswalks are dangerous for heterosexuals. So if you're a heterosexual, you should never, ever, ever use a rainbow crosswalk because it's a trap. As General Akbar used to say, it's a trap. And it is a trap. Let's say, for example, you're driving. As a matter of fact, if we know in Memphis where the rainbow-colored crosswalks are, I actually plot my trip so I don't have to cross over the rainbow crosswalk, because I know the moment you cross over, they arrest you and they charge you with a crime because you've driven over, you have desecrated the homosexual crosswalk. No, I don't know what makes it gay. I don't know what makes it gay. It just is, Dylan. I guess the crosswalk actually wasn't born that way. It wasn't created that way. They had to do that after. So maybe it's a transgender crosswalk. I don't know. Anyway, people are really upset about this. This is the headline in WSB-TV. Hate crime charges pending after group cuts up pride flags. So ladies and gentlemen, I mean, should somebody spend 12 years in prison, should a 16-year-old boy face 12 years in prison for cutting up a pride flag? Now, here's what's fascinating about this. If they had actually been burning the American flag, that would have been permissible because that is not a crime. So there are more protections around the transgender flag, the pansexual flag, than there are the American flag. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, should these teenagers face a dozen years in prison for cutting up a rainbow flag? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh, Lord. So the hate mail's already coming in. That Todd Starnes, he's just a homophobic bigot. You're just a bigot. You just hate gay people. Oh, yes. All right. Yeah, that's... yeah. Thank you for that. No, I'm not. And look, I believe that it's a crime. If you go and you cut up public property and you destroy or vandalize public property or private property, there should be a penalty for that. But I'm just wondering, tearing up a gay pride flag, is that enough to land somebody in jail for 12 years? And by the way, here's how crazy it is. Are you ready for this one? So the 16-year-old involved, his father was arrested. You know why the father was arrested? For not supervising his son. So I guess the guy didn't know where his kid was, and so now the father's in trouble. In Memphis, Tennessee, we have freaking 9-year-olds with AR-15s carjacking people down Poplar Avenue, and nobody gets arrested. God forbid. God forbid. Jeez, Alou. All right, let's go to the... I'm a little fired up today, people. Let's go to Jackie, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. Hi, Jackie. What say you to all of this?
Well, I'm pretty fired up, too, because I'm sick and tired of things like 16-year-olds tearing up a gay pride flag, and they go to jail or their parents go to jail. Come on. We've got people that are tearing up, burning in our cities the American flag. Our forefathers would put them not in jail but under the jail because they fought and died for that flag. When you want to put on a uniform and fight for that flag, then you might have the privilege to do what you want, but you don't have a privilege in America to burn American flag. Any judge that accepts those teenagers in a court should be disbarred. And also, what about the Republicans that are in congressional hearings every day, all day long, listen to this stuff that's been going on for months and years, and they still meet on our tax dollars. They are still meeting and gathering information, and they do nothing with it. They have enough information to put the Biden administration all in jail, and they need to act on what their findings are and quit meeting in congressional hearings, gathering more information. There is nothing more. They're burning flags. Put them in jail. The American flag is sacred to America. If you don't like it, take your other flags and go to a country where you can try to fly them, but I doubt you will get to. You would be put in jail for flying it in their country.
No doubt about it, Jackie. I mean, you're right, and I appreciate you calling in. You know, this situation in Atlanta, though, is just bizarre. The New York Times picking up the story. And by the way, the New York Times coverage, it's as if they went out and killed somebody. This is a massive story, and all it is, you had a couple of kids, 6 young men. They were all out late at night riding around on their scooters. They came across the rainbow-painted intersection. The entire intersection in Atlanta is rainbow-painted. So, I mean, if you're a heterosexual motorist, you don't need to be anywhere around there because they'll get you. And you don't want to go to jail for crossing over and leaving, God forbid, a skid mark on the gay pride crosswalk. But a 16-year-old, and they're charging the parents. This is insane, ladies and gentlemen. But it's okay. It's okay to burn the American flag. It's okay to rip up the American flag, but not the gay pride flag. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. I know we were getting a lot of comments on social media about this story out of Atlanta. This is in the Midtown area where you had this gay pride. It's not really a gay pride crosswalk. It's like all of the crosswalks are gay pride crosswalks. And you had six teenage boys, and they are being named and shamed nationally for what they did. So there were some big gay pride flags there, and it's like it's a gay-a-palooza. I mean, they've got all sorts of flags. And so anyway, it was late at night, 1:40 a.m. There was this was at Piedmont Avenue and 10th Street. The New York Times says it's known for its symbolic importance to the LGBTQ community in Atlanta. The suspects fled on scooters when the police arrived. They have arrested one of them, Logan Matheson, Ahmed McCory, Jamani McCarroll. Those are all the 18 and 17-year-olds. And there's a 16-year-old from Taylorsville, Georgia, whose name was not released because of his age. And they are throwing the books at these guys. They're charged with obstruction, criminal damage to property, conspiracy, and prowling. The police department says they're looking for even more crimes to charge these guys. I'm not making this up. Really? You guys have no crime in Georgia? Is that the deal? You guys have no crime? So this is like they're throwing the books at these guys. All four of those arrested could face additional charges under Georgia's hate crime law, pending the outcome of the investigation. The group coordinated the act and traveled into the city from northwest Atlanta. So are they alleging that they came all the way to Atlanta to commit this act, which was basically cutting up gay pride flags? Under the Georgia hate crime law passed by Republicans, crimes motivated by the victim's sexual orientation or gender identity can lead to enhanced penalties. A misdemeanor offense can carry an additional 6 to 12 months in prison and a fine of up to $5,000, but a felony charge could result in 2 to 12 more years behind bars. So you're looking at possibly 13 years in prison for what these teenagers did. And I'm just wondering, ladies and gentlemen, is this overkill? Because, and I know this, and this is where the shocking part is for a lot of folks, they said, we didn't realize that it's legal. It's legal to actually burn Old Glory? Yes, it is. Under the U.S. Constitution, it is legal to set fire to the American flag. It's disgusting. The Supreme Court ruled that flag burning is a form of symbolic speech protected by the First Amendment. So the gay pride flag is more revered and protected than any other flag in America, including the flag that is the symbol of our great nation. There you go. 901-260-5926. Do you think that penalty is a little harsh for these teenage boys? That's 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. Another interesting story we've been following, this out of the College World Series, LSU Tigers, big winners there. And one of the star athletes, his name is Derek, oh my goodness, I'm going to butcher this poor kid's name. Is it Carell? Carell. Dylan, help me out.
He's Curiel?
Curiel, thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
So he's a baseball guy. And he's really an all-star. He's a freshman outfielder, and he was really instrumental in the national championship. So well done you, Derek. Derek is also a devout Christian, and he's very outspoken about his religious beliefs. So anyway, Dylan, you played ball. You played baseball. Did you have a song? How does that work? You've got the walk-up song.
Yeah, so basically when I played, you can choose which song you have. I didn't play on college and high school, but, you know, there was times where I could choose the song, so there wasn't that many parameters to it, but I did choose Christian songs when I did play.
Well, I was going
to
ask what you chose.
Yeah, I chose, like, Lecrae, you know, the Christian rapper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I chose some of his songs.
So something's got a beat.
Yes.
Something's going to get you jazzed up.
Yeah, something to hype you up, something that's cool.
All right, that's good stuff. So no heavy metal or screamo.
No, not interested in the walk-up for
Could
that.
Could you imagine this? Wah!
Hey, other guys, they chose that. So
do they really?
That's their thing.
And so do they do it like every, I'm just curious, like when do they play the music?
They play it right before you come up to bat.
Okay.
So in between batters, you'll hear, if you go to some major league, minor league games, you'll hear it play right before they come up, just a snippet of the song.
So I want us to try to track down this song that that was Derek. So I want to hear this song. So anyway, Derek has a song. And he has played this song. This song has been played his entire freshman season. So they play this song when he goes up to bat. And it's written by Kanye West. And it's called God Is. All right, that's the name. It's a Christian song. So was this back when, so now he's known as Ye, right, I think? Ye, yay. Anyway, before he began, I'm not sure where Kanye is in his walk with God. But anyway, Kanye became a Christian, and he started turning out this Christian music before he went wackadoodle on us again. And one of these songs is called God Is. So Derek really loves this song, and that's the song that he chose. Well, he announced on social media that he was forbidden from using the song during the College World Series because of the Christian lyrics. I want you to take a listen to what he told a local reporter.
Yes, sir. It's called God Is by Kanye West. I'm a little upset that the NCAA didn't allow that song to be played. They only played the instrumental version. They didn't let the words play. But it's okay. God Is everything that has... Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. That's a verse in the Bible, and that's just something I want everyone to know. You worship Christ, and that's what I'm here to do, and I just want people to know me as the guy who plays baseball that loves Jesus.
I don't want to start a controversy, but they wouldn't play it.
They wouldn't play it.
Religious?
I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was religious or Kanye West or whatever, but I was a little upset, but it's okay.
Okay.
Wow. I guess I'd be upset, too. What is it? Do we have the song... Dylan, I want to hear this song.
Nice little R&B. Love.
Is that Kanye?
I don't think that's Kanye. Yet.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, now coming up for bat.
Yes.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a walk-up song. It's...
Hold on, let it get into it. Just a second.
Okay. He is my all and all. Is this it? Is that Kanye?
That's Kanye.
That's Kanye? It sounds like a child.
He's in the falsetto. I know I won't forget all he's done.
He's the strength in the space that I run. Okay. Is that it? Is that
Yeah, that's the gist of the song.
So it doesn't like come to a screeching halt and then like a whole gospel choir comes out and you start dancing and people. That's it?
Yeah, that's the song.
That's a weird walk-up song.
Well, it's clean. I mean, they're trying to, you know, worship and praise before you smack a home run.
There were no bad runs or bad words, rather.
No bad words.
No bad words.
Album.
Okay, good. So I'm not understanding why the NCAA had a problem with this.
Yeah.
Now, the reporting now is that the NCAA said, well, it's really about the artist. So that's who we had a problem with. But they did allow him to walk out to an instrumental version of the song. So it seems to me, Dylan, then that's just as bad because Kanye wrote it. So why? I just don't get that.
I don't see any difference there. Also, I've heard some of other walk-up songs, they use Christian artists. And they use Christian rappers. And there's never been a problem like this.
So they're saying this is really about Kanye. Well, so now the Louisiana Attorney General is getting involved. So this is like a big deal. Her name is Liz Morrell. You don't want to mess with the Cajun people. I just want to go on the record there. You know, they're a peaceful people. They know how to make a mean gumbo. Beignets, very good, kind-hearted people. But you don't want to poke that bear. You don't want to poke a Cajun bear named Boudreaux. I'm just saying, you really don't. So anyway, the Louisiana Attorney General says that she is now investigating all of this. She says the NCAA's handling of everything has been so poor and they made a terrible call. She says truth is truth. No matter who sings it, The NCAA owes him an apology. But anyway, look, Derek, pretty cool guy. He's very chill about all of this and says, look, I just want to be known as a guy who plays baseball and loves God. And I respect that. I really do. But that's insane. Come on, NCAA, do better. Come on, College World Series. Jeez-a-loo. On top of that, I mean, and we covered the whole controversy surrounding the refs, but that's just insane. They've got to do better over there. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, I've got to tell you about our big Newsmax show tonight. Going to have a lot of fun. We're doing a deep dive into what happened in New York City last night. Also, a lot of other stories percolating, and we'll tell you about those. Newsmax, by the way, just went public on the New York Stock Exchange. Newsmax is now the fourth highest rated cable news channel, just behind CNN. And Reuters says we are one of the top news brands in America. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for shows with Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt. I was on his program last night. I would want to encourage you to download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV, and you can start watching right away. President Trump, big fan. He watches Newsmax, and you should too. So get the free Newsmax app and also check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. For that information, go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This story out of Houston, Texas, by the way. There is a school district down there, the Houston School District, actually, and Alliance Defending Freedom has filed a federal lawsuit against the Houston School District because they refused to stop treating a husband and wife's daughter as a boy. In March of 2025, attorneys sent a letter to the district on behalf of the Osborne family, asking it to confirm that the couple's daughter would only be referred to by her given name and correct pronouns. The school district did not provide any documents and ignored the Osborne's request that they stop treating their daughter as a boy. The Osborne's then had no choice, but to file a lawsuit against the school district. I mean, this is insanity. According to the ADF, the Osborne family discovered a masculine name on their daughter's schoolwork, and then they learned that Houston Independent School District employees had been treating her as a boy for several months. They instructed the employees to immediately stop. Although the employees initially appeared to agree, the parents later learned these employees had repeatedly ignored their instructions, consistent with district policy and practice. So the Osbornes approached the school principal in 2024 about the situation. That meeting did not resolve the issue. The Osbornes continued to find schoolwork that referred to their daughter as a boy. This is insanity, ladies and gentlemen, absolute insanity. So Alliance Defending Freedom has now officially filed the lawsuit. We've got a lot of the documentation here on this. The school, by the way, for our Houston listeners, Bel Air High School, that's Bel Air High School, that's where all of this is going down. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, what do you do if you're a school here? Do you follow the wishes of the parents or the child? Or I would be willing to suggest here that maybe the child is being groomed at Bel Air High School there in Houston, Texas. What a crazy story. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. So Carrie Lake is up testifying on Capitol Hill, and she's really cracking down on all of the media. I want you to hear what Carrie Lake had to say.
What the editorial content is, and I would hope that you would not be okay with that. They could literally put out a lie about anybody here. And I know you've been the victim of that. I know you've been the victim. I remember the stories about you where they said you had a gay lover, and those were going on.
Mr. Chairman. Can I?
I hope you honor what you just gave as a caution to everyone. And I moved those words
to tell you those kind of lies, and you said those were lies. Those kind of lies could be broadcast today on VOA, and you couldn't pick up the phone, Representative Stanton, and call them and say, "Hey, you're putting out lies about me." You would not be able to do that because they would sue you for breaking the firewall.
It's raining men. Hallelujah.
How dare you? Who do you think you are, Carrie Lake? How dare you? I'm a straight heterosexual man. I love my women. How dare you? I think the congressman protesteth a bit much there, don't you, ladies and gentlemen? She was just making a point, and I think she made it. So she was talking about Congressman Greg Stanton, who was accused of having a gay lover. I do not. All right. I'm just saying. We don't judge her on the Todd Starnes radio program. Anyway, Lake is up on Capitol Hill, and she's been put in charge of the U.S. Agency for Global Media, and she is gutting that agency like a catfish. It's brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. Anyway, she's testifying on Capitol Hill about how the media, there's no accountability. So they're out there spewing all of these lies, and there's never any accountability at all. And she's saying there needs to be accountability. And she was trying to make a point here, for example, talking about the congressman. And she says, you know, they accused you, Congressman Stanton, Democrat, by the way, Congressman, they accused you of harboring a gay lover. But none of us really believe that. And he's upset about it. I can't believe they said it about you, Connor. That's the point. So anyway, good for you, Carrie Lake. I wonder if he peed himself. I bet he did. All right, coming up in the next hour, Ambassador Sam Brownback. He's the ambassador at large for religious freedom during the first Trump term in office. And we'll be talking to him about the latest on Israel and Iran. We're also going to be taking your calls as well. Write down our telephone number. You will need this, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Also, head over to the website. Ladies and gentlemen, our book now a bestseller on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, ranked number 4 in Christian literature in Barnes and Noble. So we want you to go get a copy, buy 2 or 3. They make wonderful gifts. 4th of July coming up. We've got the big 250th anniversary of the country coming up next year. And you want to make sure you have plenty of copies of this book to give away to your friends. Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. It's available at your favorite bookstore. You can also get a copy at toddstearns.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here we go, everybody. Last hour of the show today. Great to have you with us. I am Todd Starnes, your host, and we are broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Wow, we've got a lot going on. I've got to play this audio for you. So you had the head of NATO calling President Trump daddy. And President Trump was asked about all of this during the final press conference before he hopped on board Air Force One. He's on his way back to America. And President Trump was asked by one of the reporters, "What'd you think about the NATO chief calling you daddy?" Cut number 7, please.
Mark Rutte, the NATO chief, who is your friend, he called you daddy earlier. Do you regard your NATO allies as kind of children.
No, he likes me. I think he likes me. If he doesn't, I'll let you know. I'll come back and I'll hit him hard, okay? No. He did it very affectionately. Daddy, you're my daddy.
Very affectionately. You're my daddy. Who's your daddy? You're my daddy. Who's your daddy? You're my daddy. The only question here, and we brought this up in the first half of the program, that can go one of two ways, because when your mother says daddy's home, that could be a great thing. Yay, daddy's home. Or it could mean you're about to get your butt kicked. So one way or the other. So anyway, Trump seems to be in great spirits as he's coming back across the big pond. Great meetings there in at The Hague. And again, the issue here is everybody paying their fair share. And that appears to be what's happening. In the meantime, still lots of questions about Iran and Israel. And for that, I want to bring in our next guest on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He is the former ambassador at large for religious freedom for our great president. We're talking about Ambassador Sam Brownback. Ambassador, good to have you back with us.
Hey, Todd, it is great to join you again. Boy, it's good to hear your voice. I hope you're doing well.
You know, I am. I was just in your great state, for several days, Wichita and Lenexa and Overland Park, great, great part of the country.
Oh, it is. It is. It's the best. That's why I moved back here. I travel a lot, but this is home, and it's a great home.
You know, Ambassador, as we look at what's happening in Iran and Israel, I want to get to that in just a moment, but there's been so much controversy and talk over what happened in New York City in the mayor's race, where you have a radical anti-Semitic socialist who got the Democrat nomination. And I'm wondering what that tells you about the state of affairs and the culture here in the United States of America.
Well, I think it tells you about the Democrat primary voter. They are a hard, far leftist voter that it just really goes against what America really stands for. I mean, this is a religious freedom country. This is a country. We don't all agree on religion, but we all agree that you're free to practice your religion and you will not be attacked for being of a certain religion. And here you got a group that's for that, and he's socialist in the financial capital of the world. I think this bodes very poorly for the image of the National Democratic Party, and I'll bet they are shaking in their boots this morning after that primary election.
I think they should be, because when you look at the demographics, you know, it's the younger voters that are embracing this kind of ideology, and this is what they're teaching these kids in these universities and in, you know, some high schools around the nation. So you do have to wonder if that is now becoming the norm of the Democrat Party.
It's certainly a big piece of the base of the party. I mean, I think AOC and Bernie Sanders really represent probably the core of the leadership and of the thinking of the Democrat Party. And if that is the case, they will not be winning elections across most of America.
No, I'm with you on that, and I think it is a losing proposition. And I think we saw just a smidge of that in the last presidential election. Of course, Governor Tim Walz, you know, is a radical leftist as well, Kamala Harris. So we can only hope that they keep on the current trajectory there, Mr. Ambassador. I do want to turn to what's happening, though, between Iran and Israel. And you look at the Iranian people, very good people. They have been oppressed, living under this violent theocracy they've got over there.
Oh, they have been. There's no religious freedom. There's no religious tolerance. People are killed if they disagree with the regime. It is a militant, dictatorial theocracy that is the lead sponsor of terrorism around the world. And Todd, and to your listeners, this will continue as long as that regime remains in power. That is their theology. They fund it. They stand behind it. They orchestrate it. They give it intelligence. They give it weaponry. And you can wipe out Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and whoever else, and they'll find somebody else, and they'll just give them. And if they get nuclear weapons, they're going to spread that throughout the world, and we will rue the day. I've said previously, it's not now or never. It's now or nuclear with Iran. They will have nuclear weapons, and we will lament the time that we let that theocracy stay in place to spread nuclear weapons to terrorist regimes around the world.
I mean, when you look what happened, and again, the United States, we've got a very bad track record when it comes to regime change. We just don't do that well. That being said, again, if people do not want our way of life, I don't, you know, that's never going to work. And I think we saw that in Iraq, for example, Afghanistan. But when you look at, for example, at what happened in Syria, where you had a dictator in place who was an ally of us. I mean, he was friendly to us, Ambassador, but he also was friendly to people of faith, and he allowed Christians to practice their faith. He's out, and now Christians are being slaughtered in places like Syria.
And I think we've got to stand up and provide safe haven for Christians in those places. And I also think, Todd, we're going to have to start arming Christians. You can look at the places where Christians are armed, like, say, Burma today. There's Christian enclaves that are there, and they've found a way to get armed, and they can defend themselves. And I'm afraid you're going to have to start seeing more of that taking place. And, you know, on regime change, obviously, there have been great difficulties. The problem in Iran today is it would be hard to see it being worse than it is now because of what they have funded and the lead sponsor terrorism. And on top of that, what about the model of solidarity? When we backed the solidarity movement in Poland against the Polish Communist Party and brought down the Soviet Union, one of the most peaceful falls of an empire in world history, that you got, what, 19 countries that came out of it and a lot of freedom-loving countries that are still operating today. This can happen in a successful fashion. And indeed, I would argue in Iran, you really don't have a choice because this regime will get the nuclear weapon. And when it does, those will spread to terrorists.
Where are we at? You know, the CNN, New York Times, they're reporting that we did not get all of the nuclear sites. President Trump says that's simply not true. What are you hearing out there?
I get the same information, so I don't have any better information than that. And my guess is what you've got is preliminary assessments that have low confidence ratings to them. And I think you should probably assume there's more work to do to go after this, the nuclear sites. But you also even have now the Russians saying, hey, if we blow up the Iranian ability to produce a nuclear weapon, we'll give them one. We'll sell them one. You know, what about North Korea doing that? So as long as you have that theocratic regime in place, with a theocracy that supports the use of nuclear weapons. That's a piece of information I think most people need to hang and chew on for a while. A theocracy that supports this, a theology, this is going to be a threat to us as long as that regime is there.
I'm wondering, how do you work through that, though? I mean, going back to the 1950s, when you had the CIA and you had British intelligence, and they were backing the coup that overthrew the prime minister and reinstalled the Shah of Iran. All of that was over the controversy over the nationalization of their oil industry. And that really is a big thing here, is the oil. There's been a lot of talk about reinstalling, if there is regime change, bringing back the Shah's son, who is in exile right now.
Yeah, and I think you do have to work on through those things. And I'm not a fan of bringing a monarchy in, although the Shah's son may be a titular head that you could have and have a democracy underneath it, a la the British system, I suppose. The MEK is a group that's worked for a long time to change the regime and has been hated by the Iranians. These are people that want democracy, and the Shah's son himself says he wants a democracy there. I think you try to work through those, recognizing, Todd, this is a tough, messy process. It can take lots of twists and turns that you don't know. It's just at the end of the day, I don't know that we have a choice, because you're faced with a theocracy there now that wants to obliterate the world and is fine with it. I just don't think we can tolerate what is there now.
Are you looking at other hot areas? I know that, for example, the Congo, there's been a lot of violence directed at Christians there. Are there other hotbeds of action around the nation where religious freedom is under fire?
Oh, completely. I just got back from Africa last night, and we did an African Religious Freedom Summit in Nairobi. And the same week we did that, 200 Christians were slaughtered by Fulani terrorists in Nigeria. 200. That's the estimate. They're not certain yet.
Wow.
And that was just the latest to happen in Nigeria. And I mentioned Burma earlier to you. They've been in a standoff, the Christians there, primarily against the military junta that runs the country. But now the Chinese and Russians are coming in and back in the military government. And the these Christians are saying, you know, look, we can take on the military government of Burma, but we can't take on the Chinese and the Russians as well. And they get pressure and pushed on and killed, and the churches get bombed. We've got to continue to push for religious freedom, but we're going to have to do it with great action. We're going to need to use sanctions, but I think you're also going to need to start arming some groups.
Mm. And what about here in this country? Are things settling down now that the Trump administration's in charge?
You know, it's gotten a lot better. Like the group I helped start, National Council for Religious Freedom, and the National Committee for Religious Freedom, we got debanked. Immediately, within 40 days of being formed by Chase Bank. Now, they've never said why, and we haven't been able to figure out why. They've given us five reasons why they did that. But those things seem to be calming down, and some of the big institutions seem to be backing up a little bit, saying, well, maybe we shouldn't be doing this at least now. But I think this is the sort of time you need to be putting safeguards in place so that you don't get this suffocating act taking place by large businesses towards religious groups that they find their beliefs not in the current cultural mood of the country. I think we've just got to protect religious freedom at its core. That's what America was founded on. We've got to continue to protect it here and abroad.
Well said. Well said. Ambassador, we're going to have to leave it there. By the way, I got to have breakfast with Jeff Collier, who is just a great guy, a surgeon just doing some incredible work out there. We went to a place called the Doodah Diner. Are you familiar with this place in Wichita?
I am not. Well, I've heard of it, but I've not been there.
You guys have some great restaurants in Kansas. I'm just going to leave it there. So very impressed with the chicken fried whatever I had. It was very good.
Well, Todd, you would have some expertise in that. So
I would.
I do trust you on that.
All right. Mr. Ambassador, we always appreciate you coming on the program, and thank you for the great work you're doing around the world.
I appreciate you. God bless you and your listeners.
All right. There you go. Great man, folks. Senator Sam, Senator, he was the governor of Kansas, and that's where we got to meet each other, and his wife invited me to speak at the Kansas Book Festival. Well, it's a lot of fun, and now, of course, serving as the ambassador at large for religious freedom. Good guy. By the way, you heard the ambassador, and I've been telling you about this, but you heard the ambassador talking about how they were debanked. They went in, and the Chase Bank, they shut down the bank. It's their banking accounts. It's absolutely unbelievable. But it's happening more than you can imagine. And this is why we have partnered with our friends at Old Glory Bank. That's right. Old Glory Bank is not just any bank. It really is a bank built for people who love this great country and refuse to be silenced. And you're not going to be canceled by Old Glory Bank. When you put your money in Old Glory Bank, you're supporting a financial institution that believes in the values that make America great. And look, I know you work hard for your money. You want to trust that your bank has your back and won't cave to the cancel culture. Well, you can trust Old Glory Bank, FDIC insured, by the way. Head over to oldglorybank.com/starnes. I'm a customer. You should be a customer as well. That's oldglorybank.com/starnes, and you'll be able to make that change today. Go check them out, oldglorybank.com/starnes. I just got a note, and I want to share this info from my publisher. We are really climbing up the Amazon charts just in overall books now, and that is directly a result of this great audience getting out there and ordering copies of Star Spangled Blessings. Thank you for that. Overall, we are ranked like 2,000 on Amazon out of the millions of books. So we're very excited. We're ranked now in the top 20. As far as new releases go, we were the number one new release on Amazon and also number four at Barnes & Noble. And I feel like we are going to give away a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings. That's what I'm getting around to. So we've come up with a trivia question, but I want to encourage you to get out and get yourself a copy right now. You can order it from your desk or from your home. You are going to love this book. We have heard nothing but incredible, incredible reviews. As a matter of fact, we're getting 5-star reviews over on Amazon right now. And if you've read the book, I encourage you to head over there and leave us a book review. So here's the question. The winner is going to get a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings by yours truly and my dear co-author, Michelle Cox. Here's the question. We need you to tell us which state in America, which state in the U.S. of A. is the largest producer of catfish? Which state in the United States is the largest producer of catfish? If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, and you will win a signed copy of my brand new book called Star Spangled Blessings. So we'll be taking your calls coming up here momentarily. No, Dylan, you cannot answer this question. Sorry about that, my friend. All right, hang tight, everybody. We've got to take a quick break. Again, the question, the largest producer of catfish in America, what state? 901-260-5926. This is The Todd Starnes Show. Lot of the giveaways on the book. I have to buy my own book. Isn't that weird? A lot of people think that, oh, well, Starnes just gets all those books free. No, I actually have to buy my own book. The publishing industry is like that. But anyway, we're going to give away a couple of copies. I want to go to the phone lines, and we're going to do a dual trivia moment here. Let's go to Lakeland, Tennessee, and Cindy. And Hugh joins us from across the state line in Mississippi. Cindy, Hugh, hope you guys are doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
And Hugh, what about yourself?
Doing well.
Good, good, good. All right, Cindy and Hugh, we're going to try this. On the count of three, I want you to tell me the answer to the question. This is the question. We're talking catfish, and we want to know which state is the largest producer of catfish in America. All right, on the count of three, Cindy and Hugh, are you guys ready?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure you're on national radio now. All right, here we go. One, two, three.
Mississippi.
Yes, that is correct. M-I, crooked letter I, crooked letter, I. Crooked letter I, humpback, humpback,
I. Humpback, humpback I.
Well done. So let me ask you, just be honest here, guys. You both are going to win books here, but did you have to look it up, or is that something that was in your bank of knowledge?
I knew it immediately.
Is yeah. that?
Same here.
Well, Hugh, you're from Mississippi. I mean, they teach you this in school, I have to imagine. Wow. Anybody want to take a gander of what the second largest producer of catfish is? Which state is it?
I have no idea. I just...
Hugh, take a gander. Take a wild guess.
Alabama.
Louisiana?
No, but who said Alabama?
Me.
Oh, Cindy. Well, yeah, it is. It's Alabama. Alabama is number two. Yeah. She won again, didn't she? Yes. All right, guys, enough of that. We don't have enough prizes to give away here. Yeah, guys, congratulations. We're going to make sure you both get a signed copy of my brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. Have you guys heard about the book?
I have.
I talk about it all the time. Well, guys, you'll be able to swing by our talk show news bunker here in Memphis, and we'll get you guys hooked up with signed copies. Congratulations. And, guys, thank you so much both. Don't hang up. But thank you so much for listening to the show.
Well, I enjoy it. I look forward to it every time I get in the vehicle.
Well, thank you, Cindy. Now, Hugh, what part of Mississippi are you calling from?
I'm sorry.
Say that again, Hugh.
I'm down in South Mississippi.
South. Oh, so you're listening to us down. Was it WPMO? That's a Pascagoula area, maybe, possibly.
No, I'm actually listening to you on the Mighty 990 app.
Oh, that's a great app, by the way. It really is. Well, Hugh, congratulations, Cindy. Congratulations. Hang tight, guys, and Dylan's going to get all your info. I am surprised by this. I would have guessed Louisiana. I really would have. But it turns out that Mississippi is the largest producer. Over 50% of the catfish in the nation come from Mississippi. And they do catfish pretty darn good down there. I don't even want to get into how many hush puppies that go down with that. But there's got to be a lot. By the way, I have to tell you guys this. I find this very fascinating. A few days ago, I was talking about Stuckey's. Do any of you out there remember Stuckey's? Now, this is long before Buc-ee's came along. There were these little diners and gas stations. So it was a diner, and they had a gas station, and they, you know, had basically sandwiches and burgers, and then they had these incredible pecan log rolls. And if you haven't had one, you really don't know what you're missing. Now, the good ones are creamy and chewy and delicious, and the ones that are not so good you can use as weapons. They're like hard as rocks. But anyway, we had a conversation on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking about stopping at Buc-ee's on the way to Liberty University, and I got the pecan log roll, and I'm just going to tell you, it was not very good. I just call it like I see it here, folks. And so anyway, we were talking about that, and I got a message from somebody, and they said, hey, look, we heard you talking about Stuckey's, and we wanted to send you some swag. And I'm like, wait, what? What? Her name is Stephanie Stuckey. That's a real human, a real person, and she is the owner of Stuckey's. I had no idea. And I had just, I remember seeing them as a kid. We would always drive down to the Redneck Riviera from Memphis. And for those of you not familiar, the Redneck Riviera is that beautiful stretch of the Gulf of America where you got Pensacola and Panama City and Biloxi, Pascagoula. That's where Southerners go to vacation. So anyway, she reached out to me, and she is really reinvigorating and reinventing the family business. And it is such an amazing story of reviving the old Stuckey's brand. And I don't know about you, but I remember as we would drive down to the Gulf Coast, and it was summertime when you went over to the, you know, Stuckey's for their world famous pecan log rolls. But now apparently they're doing a lot of retail work, and they still make the original pecan log roll. I think there's controversy over how to say it. Some people say pecan. I personally say pecan, but whatever. It's all delicious. I mean, it really is. But anyway, Stuckey's was actually founded back in 1937, and it's just a wonderful Southern business, I believe based in Georgia originally. And if you drove anywhere, like in the 1930s, 1940s, and 50s, they had Stuckey's all over the nation. At one point, they had over, 368 stores in 30 states, and they had those awesome billboards. If you remember the billboards, I'm sort of going down, and maybe this is a solo memory lane trip, but I just have great fond memories. They had that big yellow and red sign, Then you had the, it was either a mobile or a golf sign. They don't make good signs anymore like they used to. And then you had that blue roof of the Stuckey's, and you knew there was some good eating ahead. My dad loves Stuckey's. So anyway, what's really exciting is that Stephanie Stuckey, she is the descendant of the owner, and she is the chair of the board now, and she is completely revolutionizing what they're doing, and they're working with a lot of companies to put great products in stores around the nation, and they're located there in Renz, Georgia. All that to say, Dylan, and this is the exciting part of the story, she is sending me a giant box of swag, and I understand there will be pecan log rolls. We're in for a treat. I'm excited about this. One of the things I love on this show, you know, we talk about the Trump Burger, for example. We talk about the Long Street Cafe in Gainesville, Georgia. I love talking about small businesses and family-owned businesses all over this country because we really are the backbone of this country. I mean, getting out there and creating something from nothing and working your tail off every single day, it is hard. I mean, look at Fred Smith, the founder of FedEx, who just passed away, 80 years old. Here was a guy who had a vision, had a dream, and people were not buying into the dream. He got a C on the paper he wrote that eventually became the foundation of what became FedEx. And yet he put it all on the line. There were good days and bad days, but he believed in the product that he had, and he worked his tail off. There's a great story about how things were so bad at one point, they could not pay a very important fuel bill. And if they could not pay the bill, they were going to have to shut down. Fred Smith takes the last $5,000 he had, goes to Vegas, puts it all on the table, comes back with $27,000, and he's able to pay the gas for the airlines, for the flights. It's amazing. What a great story. And now the guy was, you know, worth over $5 billion personally. Those are great American stories. But do you think Fred Smith got to be a billionaire just by sloughing off and doing nothing and just getting by and doing the bare minimum? No, not at all. He went above and beyond. And he required that of his employees. He required that excellence of his employees. Because when everybody works together and you give it your all, it's going to benefit the entire company, and it's going to benefit the entire nation. You know, one of the most important things that we can teach our kids is a strong work ethic. And if you're a parent and you're letting your kids just slough off in the summertime and play video games, and you are hurting that child. You need to get that child out there. They need to get a job. They need to, whether it's, you know, cleaning up around the house or taking out the trash or mowing grass or getting, well, they don't do paper routes anymore, do they? Does anybody do that? Do they still do paper routes? I don't know if they do. But your kid needs to get a job. They need to understand what it means to be responsible, to get up in time, and to work as hard as you possibly can. I remember that as a kid. My dad made me work with him first as his electrical helper, and then I had to get a job at Popeye's Fried Chicken and Biscuits, where I worked my way up to the biscuit maker. I was a pretty darn good biscuit maker. Smelled like butter for all of my sophomore year in high school. That's a story for another day. Those were not good memories. But I learned, ladies and gentlemen, what it meant to work hard. And I'm curious, what about you? Do you have your kids? Are you making your kids work this summer? Do they get a job? And I'm not saying you know slave labor. I'm just saying the kids need a part-time or full-time job so they can understand responsibility. They can start saving money. They can understand what it means to pay for something yourself. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to do this. I want to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got Vicky Palladino, who is going to be joining us from New York City, an incredible city councilwoman. She was on our Newsmax show last night. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, Dylan, turn your microphone on, and I want you to watch the video I just sent you. Oh, this is terrible. have you seen, you know, the big track and field, right? They've got the big track and field races, and there's an American who is doing the 400-meter hurdles. Dylan, have you seen what I'm about to describe?
I don't know if I wanted to see that.
Holy cow.
Ever.
I'm just curious. I know that the athletes, you know, they don't wear a lot, right?
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason.
You don't want anything to hold you back.
Right, but you want to hold it in. That's the thing. You've got to have enough to hold it in.
And that's the problem here.
So Chris Robinson is the athlete. He's a very good athlete, and he had a wardrobe malfunction. This is now becoming national news. He was running in the 400 hurdles, and this is in the Czech Republic. I'm surprised that's legal over there, what he did.
Poor kid.
But apparently he had to, you know, he's running, and that's hard enough just jumping over these hurdles.
Yeah.
But his private parts kept coming out multiple times. And he rolled into a somersault after crossing the finish line, which I would not have recommended doing. I'm just saying.
Well, he's trying to cover it up while he's hurdling. That's probably the most impressive part of the
video. It is pretty impressive.
You still got to feel bad for the guy.
Yeah.
That's tough.
So he, according to Reuters, he lay on the track grinning after finishing with his best time of the season. That's insane.
No way.
1/10 of a second off his personal best. He crossed the line 6/100 of a second ahead of the Brazilian. This is fascinating. He won.
That's awesome.
This is incredible. So now the video, which I will not describe to you, but the
you can imagine what's going on. It's crazy that he won. Like, that's your story. That's your best time is when that happens. That's when you win.
Yeah, but he won. After all of that, he won.
Congrats, man.
It turns out the competition wasn't stiff. So there you go.
I'm turning my mic off now.
Okay, thank you. 901-260-5926. Have we been taken off the air yet? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to share this with you. I mean, man, it is geopolitical chaos out there right now, and it's okay, all right? But you do need to be taking care of things like your IRA or your 401k because those could be in danger. It's volatile. This is one of the reasons why I turned to Vault US Gold. And if you subscribe to our newsletter, you see their information there every single morning. They are really the premier experts in protecting retirement savings with gold and silver IRAs. Their top-rated team makes rolling over very fast and super simple, and it really provides you a shield against economic chaos. Vault US Gold, they know how to help you diversify your savings and your retirement. I trust them, and I encourage you to give them a call. Check them out. They're not going to hard sell you on anything. The number to call, 833-511-4653. Again, 833-511-4653. You can visit vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns for a free guide, a free investor's guide at vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. So there you go. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up our broadcasting day tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax, watch the Todd Stearns Show. We have a jam-packed show for you, including live reports from New York City as people sort of begin to understand what happened yesterday with that election. It is going to be a very strange season, not just for New York City, but for Democrats nationwide as they come to terms with what's happening out there. And also, if you'll do us a favor, we need your help promoting Star Spangled Blessings. And I want to encourage you to encourage your friends and neighbors and church members. First of all, tell them about the book. Tell them to go buy a copy of the book. If you've got a church library, do what I did. I actually bought a couple of copies for my church library, and they were the very first people in the country to get the book. But let's help us out by being the grassroots PR team and promoting Star Spangled Blessings. We really could use your help. The fact that we're able to be as successful as we are without having the power of Fox News behind us, it really does speak to your great commitment to this program and the message that we bring every single day. And I just cannot thank you enough for that. So again, if you'll help us out and share the word, spread the word about Star Spangled Blessings. All right, it has been a great day, ladies and gentlemen. I want to remind you of some free things that we offer for you. That would be our podcast, all 3 hours of the show. Many of you, this is your lunch hour. You're able to catch bits and pieces of the show, and it's always fun to go back and listen to the entire show. You can do that by downloading our podcast at toddstearns.com. And I mentioned our newsletter. Yeah, you can actually download that as well. And you can do that by going to toddstearns.com. It is free of charge and just another free resource that we try to provide all of you great folk out there. All right, that's going to do it. Get out of there, folks. Have a great day. Be good, America. We'll see you tomorrow.